It's the Nick 10 Whip Around on RockRiverCurrent.com.
Welcome back inside the studio for week 11 of the Nick 10 Whip Around podcast, only on RockRiverCurrent.com. I'm your host, Eric Jordan Gothy, back with you again and all season long, talking high school football from around the area, especially Nick 10, as well as some surrounding conferences like the Big Northern or the NUIC conference. We have some teams that are still alive in the playoffs, so we have a lot of stuff to get to today. Of course, our big giant scoreboard that we'd like to start off each and every show with, just talking about some of the teams that are still alive in the playoffs, who was eliminated this past week, unfortunately, and who has survived and moved on to the quarterfinals with a spot on the line for the semifinal action coming up in 2 weeks. A lot of stuff to get to there. We're also going to break down their next week's matchups, who each team is playing that are still alive, and then, of course, take a look at some of the former local standouts in our area doing big things either at the college or at the NFL level. Even the NBA, we're going to check out some of our local stars playing in the NBA as well, and Isaiah Roby and Fred VanVleet. And of course, check in with our Rockford Ice Hogs. They're finally back in action. Fans are welcome back inside the BMO Harris Bank Center. We're going to talk about some of their games. A lot of stuff to get to, and without further ado, let's just jump right into this action. Week 11 of the Nick 10 football action, round two of the high school football playoffs. Now, moving up to the Class 1A bracket, the 7 seed Fulton shocked many people, not only in the NUIC conference, but throughout the 1A bracket, as the 2 seed Ottawa Marquette falls to the 7 seed Fulton by the final score of 55-7. Was not even close. Fulton has looked strong coming out of the NUIC. Now, speaking of the same conference, the 6 seed Lena Winslow had no problem taking care of the 3 seed Forreston, who Forreston won the regular season matchup. 38-8 was the final score in favor of Lena Winslow. Moving to the Class 3A, Byron takes care of Lyle, the 8 seed, 34-13, as they stay undefeated as the Tigers move on to the quarterfinals. The 6 seed, IC Catholic. This has been a strong team for many, many years around the area. They've had some good battles with Byron over the years. Well, they took care of Dupec, who was a nice story, nice surprise this year, again, coming out of the NUIC conference as the 3 seed in the playoffs. Unfortunately, falls short. Their season has come to an end, losing 35-12 to IC Catholic. Hunter Hoffman, Anderson, the edge rusher, I mean, just two star players. One of the best players this area is going to see in quite some time, and it was a nice season, last 2 years, I would say, for Dupec, but unfortunately, their season came to an end on Saturday. Moving over to the Class 4A bracket, the 4 seed Genoa Kingston defeats Wheaton St. Francis, the 5 seed, 27-3. Tough defense for the Cogs and Genoa Kingston, as they're going to have their hands full next week. We'll talk about that matchup coming up. The number 2 seed Richmond Burton, a former Big Northern school, defeats Stillman Valley, unfortunately, with ease. 56-6 was the final score as the 7 seed Stillman Valley Cardinals lose by 50 on Saturday. Just a tough loss. But again, Richmond Burton is another one of those teams like IC Catholic in the Class 3A. Richmond Burton does go far each and every year in the playoffs. This is a tough playoff team to get out. And again, ease as the 2 seed, they knock out the 7 seed Cardinals. Moving over to the Class 5A bracket, we have 3 schools from the area. The 9 seed Sycamore shuts out the number 1 seed in Class 5A in the northern part of the bracket, winning 34-0. Sycamore defeats Glenbard South. How about a big matchup there? Sycamore moves on. The 13 seed Chicago St. Patrick knocks off Rochelle, the 5 seed, by a touchdown. 21-14, the final score there. Now Sycamore and Chicago St. Patrick will face off next week in the quarterfinals with a spot on the line for the semifinals. Number 2 seed Oak Park defeats Boylan 24-14. Boylan was the 10 seed. Their season unfortunately comes to an end as the Titans bow out in the second round of the playoffs. They did have a nice team this year, had a few injuries to the quarterback in particular. Unfortunately, lose by 10 to Oak Park, but I will give a quick shout out. IHSA website, I talked about last week, I thought they were going to play Maple Park of Caneland. Boylan was supposed to play because that's what the score said on their website. Now, I go back to look at the scores for this week's matchups. Of course, they changed that. So, again, I was wrong last week on the podcast. Just a little quick, little minor detail there. But Oak Park did advance. Again, that all goes to the careless of that website, IHSA.org. Now, moving over to the Class 6A, the 6 seed Lake Forest barely gets by the Harlem Huskies on the road. 13-8, the final score there. Harlem was the 3 seed. Unfortunately, they fall short, losing to Lake Forest as a 6 seed, 13-8. Again, Adrian Paulus, one of the better players we're going to see in the Nick 10 Conference over the last really 3-4 years. He's been playing since he was a freshman at the varsity level. He's a heck of a player. Harlem's definitely going to miss him. But again, Harlem had a good team this year. Unfortunately, falling just short. Now, Lake Forest will move on to play Crystal Lake of Prairie Ridge. They also had an upset win last week, so Lake Forest will move on to play those guys next week in the Class 6A bracket. Now, finally, in the 7A bracket, the 2-seed Hananiga barely squeaks by the 15-seed Perkin by a field goal, 31-28, the final score there. Tough matchup. Hananiga stays undefeated and moves on to the quarterfinals with hopefully they win this week. Then they have a chance to go play in the semifinal matchup. Now, those are all the scores from around the area. This week, we're going to just talk about these playoff teams. I know that we're kind of, the schools are starting to get a little bit smaller now of teams to talk about. So next week, I promise we will talk about, we will recap the Nick 10 season, talk about some of the stats from the conference, some of the top players this year, as well as talk about, maybe we might hand out some awards. I did that a few years ago that might be returning to this podcast form here. So we might hand out some Nick 10 high school football action reward or awards, next week on the podcast. So make sure you tune in for that. Now, looking at the schedule for week 12 of the quarterfinal action high school football playoffs, moving over to the Class 1A, number 7 seed Fulton, we just talked about them. They'll be taking on the 6 seed Lena Winslow. So at least the NUIC conference as a whole will have a guaranteed NUIC school in the semifinal action next week, because either winner Fulton or Lena Winslow will represent the conference, being the last team left there. The Class 3A bracket, number 1 seed Byron will take on number 4 seed Braidwood of Reeder Coulter. Just right outside Chicago, the 4 seed. So again, that's going to be a tough matchup. The toughest matchup Byron really has had so far in the playoffs. So again, versus the 4 seed, it's a top seed. They're going to have their hands full for sure. Reed Custer, again, they defeated Chicago Clark 55-6 last week. That was a tough matchup for them, and they just won by 49 points, 55-6 the final score. So Reed Custer, is going to be a tough school for the Byron Tigers to face. Class 4A bracket, the number 1 overall seed at Joliet Catholic Academy, who defeated West Chicago Wheaton Academy last week 48-14. They will host the 4 seed out of Big Northern, Genoa Kingston. The Cogs will have their hands full on the road this week with an eye on a trip to the semifinals. The Class 5A bracket, the 9 seed Sycamore, we just talked about them. They defeated Glenbar South, who was the number 1 overall seed in the northern part of that Class 5A bracket. They will now play the 13 seed Chicago St. Patrick. Chicago St. Patrick defeated Rochelle, the 5 seed, by a touchdown last week, 21-14. That's going to be a good time matchup. Again, two teams that really were not expected to go this far. Two still very good football schools, and we'll see what happens there. Again, sorry if this is a little bit confusing just talking about the different brackets, because all these teams are kind of separated in different brackets, and they got the northern part, the southern part of the bracket, because we're in northern Illinois. So it does get confusing from time to time, so I try to do my best trying to explain that as best as I can. And finally, in the Class 7A, the 2-seed Hananiga, as they look to stay undefeated, but boy, might be the toughest matchup on the schedule for them, the 10-seed Chicago St. Rita. Always a powerhouse in high school football. They're going to have their hands full as St. Rita defeated the 26th seed last week, Geneva, 28-7, the final score there. Hananiga is going to have their hands full. I know they had a scare versus Perkin last week, winning 31-28. Well, now it's going to get even tougher as we're starting to get further into the playoffs. Chicago St. Rita comes to town this week. Now, moving over to the last part of our podcast, I know this is a quick one again this week just because not many teams to talk about, and we are going to go over the Nick 10, kind of recap the year, talk some storylines, talk some stats, give out some awards on next week's show. But right now, probably the best part, one of the best parts of the show, is just talking about some of the former local standouts here in the area that are doing big things either on Saturday afternoons at the college level or doing big things on the Sunday afternoons or Monday night, Thursday night, whenever the NFL really plays, because they have 3 different nights they can play at. Doing big things at the NFL level, let's just say that. We also got some players in the NBA, and we're going to talk some Ice Hawks here. But let's just get right back to the college football action, stay with the football theme here. Over in the FCS level, Illinois State defeats Northern Iowa in overtime, 17-10, the final score there. Deion McShane had 1 reception in the game. Both of the McShane brothers, Vince and Deion, have had some nice years for Northern Iowa, but really didn't do much in this game. It was a low-scoring affair, defensive battle, as, again, Illinois State wins 17-10 over Northern Iowa. Now, Syracuse and Iowa both had their bye weeks last week. Joshua Black, the former Harlem edge rusher for Syracuse, did not play. And then Tyler Ellsbury, the former offensive tackle for Byron, now plays for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They've had a rough stretch lately. Both teams were on their bye weeks last week, so really not much to talk about there. Illinois goes on the road and defeats the 20th-ranked Minnesota 14-6 for Darian Lowe and company, the former Auburn offensive guard, offensive tackle, setting records at Illinois for the most starts there as an offensive lineman. I mean, just doing big things there. I expect him to be at the NFL level next year. lot of good things to come for Verdarian Lowe. Now, going back to Wednesday night of last week, NIU unfortunately falls short on the road to Kent State, 52-47, the final score in that game. Rocky Lombardi, the former Michigan State transfer quarterback, 532 passing yards and three touchdowns before he got hurt in that game and got banged up. But Kent State's a good football team, and NIU is not a bad football team. That was a shootout, old-fashioned MAC Wednesday night shootout, 52-47, the final score there as Kent State defeats NIU of DeKalb. Moving over to the NFL, Seahawks defeat Jaguars 31-7. Now, the reason why I brought up the Seahawks and Jaguars is because two local standouts play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. James Robinson, the former Lutheran running back and Illinois State running back. And then, of course, Dan Arnold, the former Boylan tight end or football player, now also went to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin-Platteville, now playing for the Saints, Cardinals, Panthers, and now Jaguars in the NFL. James Robinson was hurt in the game, only had four carries, 22 yards, one reception for 17 yards, but again, did leave the game with a foot injury. We don't know if he's going to play this week or not, as I'm recording this Sunday morning, so we'll see what happens. Otherwise, we'll talk about it on next week's show. Dan Arnold led the team in targets and receptions for the day. 10 targets, 8 receptions, 68 yards for the tight end out of Wisconsin-Platteville. I mean, just being really a dominant player for the tight, like for the tight end position, not only for the Jaguars, but he's towards the elite category. And I'm going to say here, because I got a couple of things to bring up. Now, when you say elite tight end in the NFL, you think of the Travis Kelce's, the Darren Waller's, the George Kittle's of the world, right? Well, over the last 3 weeks, Dan Arnold's had 23 targets, over 70% snap count. Now, you look at some of the other big tight end names in the league. T.J. Hockenson, the last 3 weeks, has led with 31 targets. Travis Kelce right behind him with 29. You got Mark Andrews from Baltimore, Pitts from Atlanta, both with 26 and 24 receptions. Number five on this list is Dan Arnold, the former Boylan Titan, with 23 targets. Over guys like Gesicki, over guys like Noah Fant, other good tight ends in the league, Dan Arnold has been really exceptional as of late for this Jaguar offense that is kind of banged up right now and not very good, but Dan Arnold has been kind of carrying this offense through the air, and the rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence, and of course James Robinson does what he can do on the ground, still having another fantastic year as the second year out of Illinois State running back. Also in the NFL, the 49ers defeat the Bears 33-22 last Sunday. Justin Fields probably had his best day as a pro football player, 19 for 27, 175 yards through the air, one touchdown, one interception. Also had 10 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown run that was exceptional in that game versus the Niners at home. Matt Nagy was fortunately not at the game. The Bears, I know, still lost, but boy, their offense looked a heck of a lot better with Matt Nagy not being on the field or not being at the facilities. Now, we're moving over to the NBA. This week in the NBA, Toronto is 2-1 this week. Monday versus New York, Fred VanVleet played 37 minutes, 17 points, 8 assists, and 9 rebounds. While on Wednesday, they got another win versus the Washington Wizards, putting up 33 points, leading the team, Fred. 33 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 43 minutes played. So, yeah, he played a lot of minutes in that game. And unfortunately, came up with a loss on Friday night versus Cleveland. 18 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 37 minutes played for Fred VanVleet, just doing exceptional things for that Toronto Raptors basketball team. Oklahoma City Thunder went 1-1 this week. Isaiah Roby, the former Dixon and Nebraska standout, did not play in both games. It was a coach's decision, so unfortunately, he might have played himself out of that rotation, but got some meaningful minutes early in the year. Also played a lot last year for this team that is rebuilding, but Isaiah Roby unfortunately did not play this week. And finally, as we close out our show, then the AHL action. Our Rockford IceHogs back in action, finally allowing fans back in the stands. They played Saturday night, November 6th, versus the Grand Rapids Griffins, a rivalry game where they unfortunately lost 2-1, the final score there. Hopefully some more IceHog news coming up. I know the Blackhawks did fire their head coach, Jeremy Colleton, the former IceHogs head coach. Derek King, the current IceHogs head coach, will now be the interim head coach for the Chicago Blackhawks. So a lot of moving pieces within the Chicago Blackhawks, IceHogs organization. A lot of stuff trying to keep track of. We'll break maybe some of that down next week as well. But again, a lot of stuff going on, really, not only in high school football action, but former players doing things at the next level. Some local teams we covered. We covered a lot of stuff in this week's episode of the Nick 10 Whip Around. I know it's Nick 10 Whip Around, but I like to kind of branch out and talk some other local players doing big things, just kind of promoting the 815 and just promoting good overall athletics here now. And there's a pipeline to professional sports, not only in football and the NFL level, the NBA, AHL, hockey, sort of. But the, even MLB, there was a pipeline with Jake Smolinski, the former Boylan standout, had a cup of coffee, played with a few years in the MLB. So again, there's a pipeline to these professional sports. Some of these local standouts that there's just so many good, so much talent in the area, really, that are doing big things at the next level, and you really can't talk enough about it. Anyways, that wraps it up for this week's episode of the Nick 10 Whip Around Podcast, only on rockrivercurrent.com. You can check out all our other podcasts on there as well. You can also check out my other podcasts I do each and every week. We record Friday nights is the Football Sunday Podcast. That, again, is on rockrivercurrent.com. A lot of stuff you can go out there and check. Any news around the area or some local sports as well, some local storylines, anything you want to check out, go on there. Go check out rockrivercurrent.com. Anyways, that does it for this week's episode. Make sure you enjoy quarterfinal action this week of high school football. Still a lot of teams left in the area. That does it. Enjoy your quarterfinal high school football action. We'll talk to you next week.
That's the Nick 10 Whip Around. Get caught up at rockrivercurrent.com/podcasts.